My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents the Grand Canyon State's 4th Congressional District and faces a challenge next week to keep that seat as Arizona heads towards Tuesday's primary. His challenger is a city councilman named Ray Strauss. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
You have served 3 terms, nearly completed your 3rd term now, and you're seeking a 4th. So let's start with your message to the people of the 4th District. Why are you telling them they should return you to Washington for another 2 years?
We gave them a promise that we would deliver, and we've actually done that. We're one of the most accomplished members of Congress because we actually get things done. We listen to the people, we inventory what they need to get done, and we try to limit government and empower freedoms.
So let's talk about some of those things. How have you empowered freedom, and what other objectives have you accomplished?
Well, the biggest thing is limiting government, because the empowerment and bigger government is really killed the entrepreneur and small businesses. We want to have new opportunities and options in limiting Obamacare, which is giving people back their options to health care instead of government mandated. Getting government out of the way and allowing people to proliferate and build their businesses. And then also is making sure that the government stays out of the way and limits their access to public lands and waterways that they can enjoy the greatness that is the American West. And then last but not least is making sure that we take away some of the encumbrances so that private sector can invest and build and proliferate jobs. And that's one of the biggest keys is government doesn't create jobs. It should be making sure that the playing field is equal and playable so that everybody else can invest and build new jobs.
You and I have talked a number of times about different confrontations and frustrations you've had with the Obama administration, and I know you've had some run-ins with your own leadership as well. So despite all that, what are some specific areas where you've advanced those ideas you just mentioned, whether it's removing regulation, empowering small business, and so forth? What's been accomplished in this previous Congress?
Well, one of those is that we were able to allow for a land exchange in southeastern Arizona. You know, one of the 5 C's in which built Arizona is copper. And so we're known as one of the copper key states. And this mine was able to start producing and start getting on the track that would produce over $60 billion in revenues, $19 billion in tax aspects, and over 4,000 jobs. That's how you get an economy going, is empowering what's important and what is strong in the local neighborhoods. And that allowed the creation of those types of jobs. And it has a big forecast in our military, because copper is second only to aluminum in the quantity that is used in the military. We've also put things on the table in regards to alternatives to Obamacare. It can be done now, not waiting for 2017. They can actually start to rebuild the private sector and proliferate new ideas and opportunities to empower people and their doctors to come together. The last but not least is also understanding the power of the person, accountability. You know, we've actually got stuff on the table looking at this promotion that this Obama administration has done with a legal amnesty. And it is a perfect case in which there's violations of the power of the person. And we're going to try to get to that coming up here in September so that we can get truly back to the Article 1, Section 8 powers. And also impeachment of John Koskinen and Eric Holder are things that I have pushed. John Koskinen's got we got our crosshairs set on him coming up in September. Leadership doesn't want to do that, but we have to hold people accountable for the wrongs they do against the American people.
We're talking with Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar, up for re-election first in the Republican primary this coming Tuesday, August 30th. And then if he's successful there, he'll obviously head to the ballot in November. Your opponent, sir, is a city councilman named Ray Strauss. He's also a pastor who is presenting himself as the outsider in this race. But others see him as the National Party's effort to have someone who will do their bidding more in this seat than you have. How do you view his candidacy?
Oh, absolutely. He's backed by open borders, illegal amnesty folks that, you know what, cheap labor. He's backed by Western growers who have procured and tried to promote the Gang of Eight and cheap labor. He's also got ties to this group that has ties to past leader John Boehner and current leadership. The gentleman's name is Dan Flynn. He actually is running IE. He's very well connected back east. They want to go along, get along type of person instead of holding accountability, living to the constitutional frameworks, and the rule of law. It's quite contradictory when you see a guy that claims to be a pastor that continues to lie over and over and over again about the things that we have accomplished or the lack of there that he says that we have not accomplished.
What he says is he's essentially running against Washington and arguing that the current leadership hasn't gotten the job done, so therefore you haven't been effective enough in his estimation, and new blood is needed. Obviously, with the Obama administration in place and the clashes you've had with your own leadership, not as much has gotten done as you'd like to. So how do you make the case that despite what's not going right in Washington, that you're the best man to carry on what's needed for this 4th District in Washington?
Greg, we've been one of the most accomplished members of Congress. We've had 9 bills passed into law, another 20 pieces of legislation passed into law. We've passed well over 79 amendments and pieces of legislation through the House. We've been extremely fastidious and work ethic built. So there's nothing that we can't get done because we've set the example. We're actually known by some of my colleagues as the Hound of the House, because if I'm looking for you to get you as a co-sponsor, I'm going to get you. You just might as well give up. So there's nobody that does it better than we do, and particularly when you start looking at the power of the first, the limitation amendments on interior appropriations, whether it be Obamacare, Waters of the U.S., the EPA's overreach, the furthering of affirmative fair housing initiative that the president is trying to expand into everyone's neighborhood, both making sure that you're integrated both religiously, ethnically, and economically. And so I have been at that forefront trying to hold people accountable and working hard to make sure that not only, as you said, the administration being held accountable, but our leadership as well. Promises kept. I mean, trust is a series of promises kept, and I take that literally.
Congressman, you mentioned some of the outside forces who are endorsing your opponent. They're not just endorsing him, and they're not just attacking you. They're spending a lot of money on this race. One article I've seen here says they've spent about $280,000 to try to defeat you, most of that aimed at negative ads towards you, a little bit in promoting him. How has that impacted the race?
Well, you know, it would be nice to say that all our electorate is very well educated, but what they're doing is that they're throwing the kitchen sink. They have been lying about my record, like I voted for Obamacare, when everybody that knows me knows that's quite opposite. But they're trying to do the same thing that they did with Tim Huel's camp in Kansas, is that they throw out all this negative ads. They build up a fever frenzy in people that haven't maybe voted once out of the last 4 elections or 0 times out of the last 4 elections. And what they're trying to do is get the angry mob to label somebody like myself, who is definitely not an insider, it would have to be one of the true outsiders, being labeled as that, and then they try to oust them. It's no different, Greg, than to see leadership wanting people that go along with their strategy, and that's what's got us into $19 plus trillion in debt and the same old crap that we see over and over again.
One of the big issues, of course, not only nationwide, but especially in Arizona, is border security. And in looking at your opponent's website, he talks a lot about that. You and I have talked about this at length, from Fast and Furious to the president's executive orders and Gang of Eight and everything in between. So how would you distinguish the differences between the two of you on that?
I've been the workhorse, putting amendments forward to defund sanctuary cities, to making sure that our Border Patrol has adequate funding, to making sure that the reimbursement to local communities when Uncle Sam isn't doing their job, called the SCAP, is well-funded. We have been on the forefront of actual making sure that security is paramount and number one. Refugee status, making sure that the wet foot, dry foot issue in Cuba goes away. They have to be treated just like anybody else. We have been paramount and forefront in that. And we're also poignantly coming in September to look at the anti-deficiency violation, in which this administration did not have jurisdiction in regards to the illegal amnesty of DACA and DAPA. And there has been no foremost passage of any law by Congress, nor funding of that. So a complete defamation of the Anti-Deficiency Act. And so we want to make sure that leadership has the ability to make sure that that goes to the Supreme Court so that this president can be reined in. So we're not only looking at what can be done now, but how we can use the constitutional powers and those laws that are affirmed to us to hold this president accountable and those that do his bidding for him as well. So there's been nobody that has done it better than us. Numbers USA and have given us a 100% rating, and one of the foremost champions of making sure that and fair same way about making sure that our immigration system is to the letter of the law.
Last topic, Congressman. We recently profiled the Senate primary in your state, and in that situation, the two major candidates on the GOP side have pretty different opinions of Donald Trump, although I think both are going to vote for him. Has it been much of an effect in your primary, and do you think the nominee's shift here on immigration is likely to influence your district at all?
Our district is very heavily supportive of the nominee, Donald Trump. You know, I look at it, and when anybody gives me some guff in regards to that, I'm like, can you really vote for a criminal? Come on now. Have we stooped that low? Donald Trump is talking the right language. He may not always use the right words, but, boy, he's articulate because he knows that there's a problem and a pulse that has to be taken care of. And that's how we have to get it. You have to acknowledge where the problem is. You have to diplomatically analyze it, but then you have to come up with some solutions. Obviously, what Main Street Republicans and Main Street Washington, D.C. is doing is not accomplishing that. We go further in debt, further more problems, and keep kicking the can down the road. So from our standpoint, our district is firmly behind the nominee. And to be honest with you, we actually have a fair amount of Hispanics, and they feel the same way. They want to get back to the rule of law. There's a right way and a wrong way. And I don't think we should be ashamed one iota of making sure that we uphold the rule of law. That's what made America great.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. You've been very generous with your time. We'll be closely watching the results on Tuesday and beyond. Thank you, sir. As always, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you for having us on, Greg.
Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar represents his state's 4th Congressional District. Again, the primary day in Arizona is this coming Tuesday, August 30th. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.